Thanks for listening to English Go Podcast. To listen without advertisements or to read episode transcripts, visit englishgo.co.uk for more information.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I woke up this morning and I was thinking about efficiency when studying a language. So my last two episodes were about how long I've been studying for, so I'm going to continue on that sort of language studying theme today. And what I was thinking about this morning is, in Japanese, there's this thing called pitch accent, where you have to try and correctly pronounce two words that are the same word, but when you pronounce them, they're pronounced differently because the tone is different. So I'll try and give you an example. So there's the word hashi, which means bridge, but this word can also mean chopsticks. And I think the difference between the two is hashi, hashi. Now, I think that's probably completely wrong, and there's a reason why. I don't care about pitch accent. I don't study pitch accent, and I feel like if I did, I'd be wasting a lot of effort trying to do that. Now, I'll tell you how this relates to learning English in a bit, but I'll just carry on with this sort of like Japanese explanation for a bit longer. I think if I was to say, I walked over some chopsticks, I crossed some chopsticks, I'm pretty sure, even if I use the wrong pronunciation, even if I use the wrong tone, someone can work out what I'm saying. Or if I say, I ate my meal with a bridge, I'm pretty sure someone's going to know, okay, that's just the wrong tone. And there are other examples as well. I think there's like ame, which is rain and sweets. If I said, I like eating rain, I think people would understand again. But there are so many videos out there on YouTube that talk about pitch accent and try to warn you about the dangers of not learning pitch accent, and how bad it will be if you don't do it, and I don't know, no one's going to understand you. And it's almost like they try to scare you into learning this pitch accent thing. I think for me, I would rather know 1,000 words spoken incorrectly, you know, so 1,000 words where your pronunciation isn't perfect, than only know 100 words but be able to pronounce those 100 words perfectly. If I don't know that many words but I know how to pronounce them perfectly, that's not that much use to me. If I know lots of words, but I don't know how to pronounce them perfectly, that's much more useful, isn't it? Now, the problem with focusing on pitch accent or focusing on pronunciation is that it takes effort. It takes a lot of effort if I want to introduce pitch accent into my studies. I'm not only learning the word and the characters for the word, but I also have to try and remember pitch accent as well. So that requires more effort, meaning every word I learn becomes just a little bit harder to learn. And when you're trying to learn thousands of words, so in my Anki deck, there are currently over 10,000 words, that extra little bit of effort becomes a lot of effort. Now, I think everyone, well, maybe most people who are learning English want to get like really, really good pronunciation, you know, sort of like near native levels of pronunciation. And I think that's fine to focus on at some point, you know. I think it's fine to focus on studying this when you've got to the point where you're comfortable in English. You already know enough words, you know, you don't need to learn more words. Or you've got to the point where you're learning words, but very few. You know, sometimes you discover a new word once a week or something like that, and most of the time, all the words you're seeing, you know what they are. I think that's probably a good time to start to focus on that kind of thing when you really understand the language, when it's become almost like second nature to you, when it's something you do effortlessly. I think that's a good time to do it, because then you don't have to concentrate on learning words so much. You can just, or you don't have to concentrate on speaking English so much or learning English. You can just focus just on, you know, making your pronunciation as good as you can. And I also think that until you get to that point, it's very hard to perfect your pronunciation. And there's a reason for this, and that is because until you reach a very high level of English, it's very hard to be able to detect the small differences between accents. So, for example, if you listen to American English and British English and they sound the same to you, how are you going to form a perfect accent? It's probably going to be impossible if you can't do that. If you can't tell the difference between someone from Liverpool and someone from London, how are you going to get the kind of accent you're after? For me, I can just about tell the difference between like a Tokyo-style accent and a Kyoto-style accent, or Kanto and Kansai style accent. So I really don't think I'm at the point where I need to bother that much about perfecting my pronunciation or working too much on that. As an English person, I can tell you that we're quite used to hearing different countries' accents. I think everyone has some idea, certainly European countries that are close to us, everyone has some idea of what a French accent sounds like, or a German accent, or a Spanish accent, or Italian accent, and so on. We've got some idea. I think when it comes to like sort of Scandinavian countries, we sort of lose a bit, like we're not so clear about that, and we think maybe they all sort of sound a bit similar. I don't know if that's true or not. But my point is, we hear lots of different accents. Oh yes, and of course Indian accents as well. They're quite popular. They're well known over here. So we're used to hearing accents, and we're used to understanding English when it's spoken with a different accent. And I think we actually quite like it as well. It's quite fun to try and imitate, to try and copy English when it's spoken in a different accent. So, yeah, I wouldn't stress about it too much. I wouldn't worry about pronunciation too much, as long as you can be understood. I think that's the most important thing to focus on, being understood. If you can have a conversation with someone in English, and you can practice that often, your English will get better and better. It has to. The more you practice something, the better you get at it. If you can't have a conversation in English because your pronunciation is so hard for English speakers to understand, then yes, I think there's definitely a reason to focus on pronunciation at that point. But until then, until you have that problem, I don't think there's any point in trying to fix it yet. Wait until you get really good, and then you can focus all of your time on perfecting an accent. Because I know there are a lot of people who are very interested in trying to get perfect accent now, and I just feel it's a bit too soon. There's lots of videos on YouTube that seem to be very popular about, improving your accent, and it's probably just a bit too soon. Having said that, there's nothing wrong with doing that. If you enjoy it, if it's fun for you, by all means, do it. I'm just trying to say, perhaps don't spend too much time on it. Don't give too much of your energy for studying to trying to improve your accent, your pronunciation, that kind of thing. But of course, this is going to differ. It's going to change depending on which is your native language. So I find it easy. I think lots of English people find it easy to understand people who come from European countries. We hear that accent often. Polish as well, and Romanian and Bulgarian. They all seem like really easy for me to understand. And as I said before, the Indian accent, because we have a lot of people from around that area, and Pakistan as well. No problem with those, I don't think. But I will say, the harder accents for us to understand, like foreign accents for us to understand, probably going to be from Eastern countries like Korea, like China, like Japan, like Taiwan, and so on. And out of all of those countries, the most difficult accent, foreign accent to understand, is the Japanese one. It definitely is. I remember when I first became interested in the language, and I would listen to a group called Brilliant Green, and some of those songs were sung entirely in English, like all of the lyrics were completely in English, and I could probably understand about 10% of what was said. The accent was so amazingly strong, and I just couldn't make anything out. It's like every now and again I could hear a word. Sometimes I think I heard it correctly, but the lyrics made no sense, and I looked it up and I realized they didn't say that at all. It was a completely different word. I think if you are from an Eastern country, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to put a bit more effort in to getting your pronunciation to a level where it can be easily understood. But yeah, Japanese people are going to have to work a lot harder, I'm afraid. And there's a reason for that. It's because your language doesn't have many sounds in it. If you compare Japanese to Korean, Korean has a lot more of these unique sounds, much more close to England. I think there's about 2,000 of them or something like that. I can't remember the exact figures, whereas I think Japanese only had around 200. So there's all these extra sounds in other languages that your mouth is not used to making because you've never practiced them before. So it's a lot harder to pronounce English for Japanese speakers, I'm sorry. But I will say that there is some good news, and that's if you're going to practice like a language exchange, do a language exchange, the person you're practicing with will have had lots of experience trying to understand your native language. So for me, I can listen to Japanese English, like English with a Japanese accent, and understand it, no trouble, even if the accent is incredibly strong. I can go back and I can listen to Brilliant Green, and I can listen to what they were saying, and I understand it now. So if you find someone who's studying a native language, you'll be okay, even if you've got a really strong accent, and you can practice, you can increase your English like speaking ability up to the point where you can start to focus on pronunciation and your accent. Anyway, that is it for today. Hope you have a lovely day and see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening until the very end of the show. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give my podcast a rating, or if you have the time, write a review. It's a really nice way of letting me know you enjoy these episodes and encourages me to make more of them for you. Thanks very much and have a lovely day.